This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
All the drama, all the strategy and silliness from Theo to HOH. Every single season, you know he is the reason. You know what's happening. Rob said that he could do it. Tomorrow he will do it again.
Hello, everyone, and good morning. Welcome to our live feed update for August 29. I'm your host, Trent Armstrong, and with me today is Mary. How are you doing, Mary?
I'm doing okay. It's been a long, long night, but it was a pretty short day yesterday. Short meaning not a lot of conversations. And then, as always, they had a couple big conversations late at night. But, you know, doing pretty good. Glad to be back here. Bowled a lot yesterday.
Bowled.
Yeah. You know, I went bowling and then, and I don't think I've ever bowled like four games in one go, but it was pretty fun.
How are your fingers?
Not great, actually. I joined a bowling league and recently I've realized that one of my fingers really hurts and that's the only reason I could think of. And I'm like, man, I didn't know you'd get like bowling injuries.
Yeah. Yeah.
You gotta watch out for
those fingers.
Yeah.
did you have any bowls after bowling?
Any bowls? Ooh, yeah. You know, I thought about it. I thought about making like a bowl of ice cream or something, but I didn't. But I thought about it. Should have. I know.
All right. Well, we are here to update you on everything that happened yesterday on the Big Brother 23 live feeds. And maybe we'll get the results of Mary's bowling games in here as well.
Maybe.
It was day 53 in the house. And we had a veto competition. We have veto results. We have tentative plans for the veto. That's pretty much it. There's, as Mary alluded to, not a lot here from yesterday as we move forward through the day here. But that's what we're doing here. We started the day yesterday with Tiffany won the HOH. But then she was dethroned by the coin of destiny, and that has not been great for her in the sense that she has not been able to listen to Beyonce. But it has been great for her in the sense that the nominations that she made remained the same because Claire won the coin and put up Kylan and Sarah Beth. And Tiffany will be able to compete again in the next HOH. So there's not a lot of downside here for Tiffany. But that's what we're going into the day looking at, that Claire is the Coin of Destiny holder and the nominees are Kylan, Sarah Beth, and Xavier. Now, the only potential way that things could get a little tricky here is if Sarah Beth, the target, wins the veto, Claire would then have to make a replacement nominee and it would be down to the cookout to make sure that that person has to be Alyssa and not anybody from the cookout, because then it would be three members of the cookout on the block.
Exactly. It also seems like pretty much everybody knows that Claire is the one who won this power and that she has it. I know you mentioned yesterday that if basically anyone else had won the HOH, that Claire would probably have used this power differently, but she's feeling like she really doesn't want to mess up what Tiffany's plan is since Tiffany's her girl. So all in all, I'm not really sure that it mattered too much that Claire won this. There's a couple scenarios where it's good for her to now be safe, where she couldn't be a backup person to put on the block. But for the most part, kind of a waste. Also, given the fact that Claire, it sounds like, is not going to be able to really try to win the next HOH either, this might end up being a net negative for her, just given the exact circumstances of this this week's HOH anyway.
Yes. So we start the day here with Tiffany and Claire, and Claire alludes to something that they had kind of skirted around before, and seems to be the impetus for the plan to ensure that Claire gets the Coin of Destiny, which is that that it seems as though, and it's still not entirely clear how this would work or if it's even like 100% the case, but it seems as though Claire has a directive from production that she is to throw the next HOH, that she is not supposed to win next week's HOH, and that that she, I don't know what would happen if she didn't throw. I assume that they would be like, sorry, you can't win, so you should have thrown, because now we have to say that you didn't actually win because you were the Coin of Destiny holder and we're outing your spot, and it's the second place finisher that wins, something along those lines. But it's a bit messy here in terms of exactly how this works. I'm sure we'll find out tonight.
And I really do hope, and we'll probably find out on the episode, but I do hope that Claire was fully told before playing the Coin of Destiny that this would be the case. Otherwise, that's kind of a crappy situation. I wonder if that also might have factored into why some other people were like, you know what? Let's not try so hard for this Coin of Destiny in the first place, because it's more important that we win next week.
Yeah. So Hannah, at the end of the day, is going to talk about this. And she says that the reason why they gave Claire the Coin of Destiny is because they were under the assumption prior to everything else that that the Coin of Destiny holder would have to not win HOH the next week or something along those lines. So, you know, take that for what you will. I think at this point, we're so close to the episode tonight that it's not worth speculating too much, because we will just, I assume, find out tonight. But it makes a little bit more sense now why they were talking about giving it to Claire.
For sure.
Yes.
Earlier in the day before this, Tiffany had talked to the camera some, and not anything super, super important, reiterating that they had made a master plan in week one, and she doesn't think that anyone has done that in the history of Big Brother, of really having like a, which, I mean, all of these things, every time people talk about like day one alliances, day, I don't know if there's really ever been any like actual day one. There's been like week one, yay three, that kind of thing. But she's really glad that this has been working out. She's also saying, you know, tells the camera that Claire's the other HOH, so I got dethroned. So technically I'm not HOH, but my noms are probably going to stay the same at this point.
Mm-hmm. Tiffany, when she's talking to Claire also, they talk about who would potentially go up as the replacement nominee if the veto played out in a way that they did not want, which is of course that somebody would come down. And they discuss Alyssa as the replacement nominee. So they're Tiffany already on track to make sure that that the right person goes up in the wrong situation. Things are not looking that bad. She does say to the cameras, Tiffany, that she plans to gun for the next HOH next week. She's happy that she was dethroned because she can compete. However, if there's like a safety to win, then maybe she wouldn't want to. Maybe she would go for the safety. She's going to discuss that a bit later as well, and potentially move away from that idea as well. She can't publicly go for safety because Claire would be like, what the hell? Again, we'll see. Tiffany, whether or not she'll win, probably will make a big difference between whether or not Claire or Alyssa will be targeted next week. Because a lot of people are looking at Claire as the target next week rather than Alyssa at this moment. Although, again, I expect more discussion about that to be happening throughout the week as we go on.
It also, so because of the dethroning and the fact that there's a third nominee, Tiffany is not going to be automatically playing in this veto. Neither is Claire. It's going to be the three nominees and then whoever they pick. I'm trying to remember from the past when there's been a third nominee, does the HOH normally get to play? I mean, I know that she was dethroned, so that's a different circumstance, but I was trying to remember how they did the two. I think it was just two random chips picked by the HOH, right?
Yeah, the HOH picks two chips, and then if they choose the chip of somebody that's playing, they get house guest choice.
That's right. That's right.
So, okay. Yes.
A little bit of a different scenario this weekend.
Yes. With no HOH. So it will be, I believe they just had the three nominees choose a chip each.
Yes.
So Big D is going to talk with first Tiffany and then Azza. It seems as though, and he's not being super clear about this, but it seems as though he's feeling pretty down about the fact that he did not get the $100, it seems. He feels like he must have done something wrong, and is being punished for it. He says he's embarrassed, and he says, well, obviously the fans like me, but he says that, you know, there are some people in this game that he's made connections to that can make him look good and some people that can make him look bad. And he's worried that now, you know, the edit's going to portray him in a certain way. And he's just concerned about all of that. And Oz is like, Hey, Big D. You're not here for America. You're here to play the game. You're here for yourself. I had to think about the same thing. You know, I've been distracted by X, you know, and if this guy, if he doesn't like me, he doesn't like me. I like guys who pursue me. X doesn't pursue me. So I need to move forward and you need to move forward as well, Big D. You need to move forward from America.
Nothing like a middle school crush. Yeah, nothing like a middle school crush being compared to like Big D's experiences with America. I know that a lot of people are talking about how like Big D was probably only getting a lot of the votes because his name was Derek. I do think that like he has been shown on the episodes as sort of a laid back, fun character. He's getting a lot of the, like the little character moment segments and things like that, which a lot of casual viewers really do like. So I think that's understandable as well. And I think he shouldn't feel too down. It's not like he came across really poorly in the last couple episodes or anything. So I don't think there's anything for him to really worry about. No, it is a little bit funny when you get these reactions of people because the only thing they can read from the audience is like what their votes are. And if he was at 100 2 weeks in a row and then went down to 75, I would be wondering too, for sure.
Yeah, and I don't think he did anything wrong. I think that he never did anything right. That's the problem.
Yes.
But yeah, I mean, he feels like America broke up with him, and Azza is trying to comfort him in the breakup. Like, hey, I've gone through rejection as well. X clearly doesn't like me, and see, she says she needs to move forward from that, which I think is very telling from her. Again, I've been talking a lot about how Azza, she's been talking with Tiffany a lot about, you know, going after the guys. She hasn't talked to the guys about it yet. It does seem like this is something at least that she is thinking about here. Big D says, yeah, you know what? At the end of the day, he is just, you know, he's something good to look at. That's it. He says, it's the same thing with me and Kylan. I just like flirting with him. It's something to do in this house. I'm here for the money. And they both agree.
I'm glad to hear that. I will believe it when I see it with Azza, but you know, we'll get there. I think the reason I thought that comment was just funny though is because it just seems like very classic, like when you're in middle school or high school and you have a crush and anyone talks about anything and it's like the only point of reference you can do to compare yourself and be like, yes, exactly, like my scenario. Let's get back to me for a second and talk about my struggle.
That actually reminds me about my middle school crush. When I had a middle school crush, she had a really she liked to talk about her middle school crush, and then that person liked to talk about their middle school crush. It was a whole thing.
Oh, that's so awkward. Well, you know, Taryn, just like America breaking up with Big D, we have to get past these middle school crushes.
Oh, man.
No, I'm not okay with that.
We need our middle school crushes. So Claire, Hannah, and Alyssa are chosen to play in the veto. That means that it will be Xavier, Kyland, Sarah Beth, Claire, Hannah, Alyssa playing in the veto competition. After the veto draw, we get Claire talking to the camera. She thinks that most people in the house are probably aware that she's the coin holder at this point. She says Alyssa and Xavier scare her. Doesn't like them in the game. She feels like she has a tricky road to the end of this game. She does not think that she is playing optimally at this moment. It's Big Brother. What can you do? I know something you could have done.
What you could do is, you know, target Xavier and Alyssa. That would be a thing that you could do. I hate to say that this is, like, I don't think that the Claire and Tiffany relationship is the same as the Sarah Beth and Kylan one. Exactly. But it is having the same result, no matter which way you look at it. Like, Sarah Beth went into her HOH thinking, who am I worried about? Xavier and Alyssa. I don't have control over what they're doing in the game, and they're a duo and a threat. Ends up targeting the person that Kylan wanted her to. In this case, Claire also has the clarity to know that Xavier and Alyssa are not with her and are threats for the game. The clarity, thank you. Yes. but she is so close to Tiffany that even though she knows, like, it's different because I think Sarah Beth was actually influenced into believing that she was doing what was best for her game by Kylan, whereas Claire, I think, is aware that this is not what's best for her game, but she has the loyalty where she doesn't want to change and make that move. It's a little bit frustrating, and in the long run, probably wouldn't have changed things too much, even if all circumstances had changed. If she had put up Xavier and Alyssa on the block, Alyssa probably just goes home. Well, Xavier is already there. So if Xavier is already there, I guess she just takes Kylan down. She can't like double put Xavier on the block. Hold on. Now I'm confused. So if she had taken down the nominees and put up Alyssa, she would still have to put up another person.
Yes. Okay. The only thing that she could have done is put Big D up next to Kylan instead of Sarah Beth. Or Aza and Big D if she wants to try and really go for Xavier. But she has no real way of knowing that putting Alyssa on the block just
is going to result.
Alyssa will go.
Yeah,
home.
Alyssa going home. So it wouldn't have changed things too much, like, for Claire long term. It's not like her entire rest of the game shifts by making that particular move. She would have to think enough about it to realize that the only thing that would really shift her position would be only putting cookout members up and no one else. And then hoping that, well, we're still going to figure out the whole post-veto situation.
Yeah, it's not quite as dramatic a difference as the Sarah Beth situation, in the sense that, the difference between Sarah Beth going after X and Alyssa and going after Derek was massive, because Derek was a force in the game that was not going after her, that really could have done some damage to anybody but her, and was really the only person in the house that wasn't coming for her. Whereas with Claire, the difference between Sarah Beth and Alyssa, ultimately not that much of a difference, but still she's making a move that she knows is not optimal for her, and her read on the house is wrong. And, it's not optimal in the position she thinks she's in, which is a decent one.
And it's also not optimal in the real one, but it's actually
not optimal in the situation that she's in, which is a terrible one, where she needs to take every optimal decision. And there is a much bigger opportunity here that of course she can't see.
I think that's what I'm like trying to get at, is that it's not just about, if you look at it through Claire's eyes of like what she knows to be true, which is Xavier and Alyssa are not with me and they're the threats and they're the people I should be putting up who are not with me. She needs to like somehow see one step farther to that, to realize that Xavier there is really the optimal move, and that she can't even put Alyssa on the block, because that would just result in her going home, which is something that she doesn't have the ability to see really from the point she's at, probably. I think she could see it, but I think the problem there is like it's the bit farther of, she'd have to know all of that and then also not at all get influenced by Tiffany or anyone else who is going to try and convince her to put up Alyssa in that scenario.
Yeah, because like she had talked to Derek about like, I'm worried that Tiffany is working with Xavier. She certainly knows that she knows that the next couple of targets are supposed to be, you know, Sarah Beth, Alyssa, not Xavier. So if she wants to take out Xavier, she needs to put Xavier in a position where he is not up against any of the people that have been talked about as targets. That's the real giveaway, is who is being discussed as a genuine target moving forward. People talk about Kyland a lot, and yet for some reason, nobody's targeting Kyland. They're just putting him up next to Sarah Beth. Everybody talks about Xavier, but for some reason, everyone's targeting Alyssa. And that is the telltale sign of an Onion Alliance. She says, do I think there's an Onion Alliance? No. Do I think there's two sides to this house? Yes. And that's what I like in a season of Big Brother. Claire. No. There's always an Onion Alliance.
And it's being reiterated a lot, because I have in my notes multiple times today of different people in the cookout talking about how there are two sides to the house. And they know there's not, I mean, there are, but there's not in the way that they're speaking. They're creating divides among their seconds to assume that the house looks differently than it does. And it's working really well. So, you know.
Yeah.
More props to them.
I almost want Claire to be the last person to go, just so that when they tell Claire about their alliance, she can be like, oh, so like the Brigade with an Onion Alliance. And so that they will stop being like, this has never been done before.
Yeah. Yeah. That would be nice. I mean, there's pros and cons of how you could have it, because that Claire, I think, would be the most like understanding, because I think she's the person closest in the house to like having figured it out. Whereas if you had Sarah Beth or Alyssa somehow being the last person, I think they would be like, what? No, but my partner, they're not in on it. Surely they would have told me. They spent all their time with me. So anyway.
We get to the veto competition and we come back. Hannah has won power of veto. She beat Sarah Beth by 23 seconds. And just like that, Sarah Beth is gone. She's going to be out of this house. And the cookout succeeds another week. They are moving forward. If it's true that Claire can't win next week, it will be 6-1 in the next HOH competition. And they can basically guarantee that one of Claire or Alyssa leaves next week, as long as they put both of them up on the block and or prevent them from using the veto on one another if only one of them goes up on the block, which shouldn't be too hard. So they are all but locked in to the final seven at this point. Here we go. She also, Hannah, won a prize thing that she gets to watch a movie with some people. She chose to watch it with the nominated people.
Yes, Dear Evan Hansen. So a lot of chatter about that. You're not aware of Dear Evan Hansen?
It's a musical.
Yes, it is a Broadway musical. And a lot of the Broadway cast is in the movie version of it that they've just, I don't think it's actually officially out yet. I think it's coming out in September, but it's pretty exciting, mostly just because I feel like in the past they've had a couple good movies in Big Brother, but a lot of times the movies are like, it's not as bad as the movie content they get on Survivor, but it's still like they're not
watching Jack and Jill.
Yeah. I mean,
they watched Runaway Jury in like season 4, right?
Yeah, that was interesting. They've had a couple that are good, but I was actually surprised when this happened, because I was trying to think of the last time they had a movie thing like this. I think they did one in Big Brother 19. For some reason, that feels familiar. I feel like I could picture some of those people going to the movie. Could be wrong. But I think it's been a couple seasons since they've done this. So I was surprised that they still have. They've done like movie ad sponsored competitions, but I don't know if they've done them when they see the movie. So anyway, but I thought it was cool that they got to do that. And I always think it's like the prize that I would most likely want to win, just because it seems really fun to walk into a room and have all the candy spread out in front of you. It's like, as a kid, I'd be like, oh my gosh, that's so exciting. Cause you can never buy the candy at movies. It's too expensive. So it'd be really fun.
Well, Well, Hannah gets to watch this movie. And just like that as well, I tweeted this out, but Sarah Beth takes out Derek X, and then all three of his allies in the house win back-to-back-to-back competitions. Tiffany wins and puts Sarah Beth on the block. Claire wins, dethrones Tiffany, puts Sarah Beth on the block again, and then Hannah wins the veto to beat Sarah Beth to keep Sarah Beth on the block. And yeah, of course, all three will be voting her out, assuming Claire can vote or would vote, whatever.
It's pretty good. It's pretty funny. I'm really happy that I'm not a big Sarah Beth hater. You know, I feel for her. I think that she showed some real talent in the beginning of the season and just got a little bit blinded. I'm not saying she's a good player.
Sympathizer.
I mean, are you like waiting for a sound drop? Is there something you'd...
No, you'd just be joining the ranks of Jacob Jones.
Yeah, I'm a Sarah Beth empathizer as a person. Like, I genuinely don't think that there's really anyone in this season who I was like horrible, horrible, can't stand. I mean, there's like the fun villains that I was really glad just got like, you know, kicked out super early, like Brent. Like, that was fun. But and I think it's fine to like dislike Sarah Beth in like the choices she's made in the game. I think that's fine, or to like find her not the most entertaining person. But I don't think that she's like a bad person. I don't think that we need to be hating on her. And I think it's like, from like a scripted content sense, it's funny to see this happen to her. In that she made a bad choice, is being told by Kyland, oh, it's fine, don't worry about it, it's going to be a great choice. And then it's just, woo!
Yeah, I mean, telltale sign of an all-time bad decision is getting evicted the following week. So, you know, it's good that it happened, because we needed this finality to the terrible move.
Yeah, and I think that there's like a little bit of a difference between people like, you know, Raven, who have been also blinded by alliances and stronger players and certain people in the house, where they believe that they're doing something well because they're being told that they are, to the point where it's like, open your eyes, this is so not right. And when you start talking and acting like you've been a puppet master and a manipulator of the game, when it's just anything but, I don't think that Sarah Beth, I think Sarah Beth has like a healthy amount of feeling like the choices she's making may or may not actually be right. I think there's times where she gets in her head and is like, okay, I'm being told this is good, so I must be good, right? Haha, America, getting rid of your boy. And then she's like, never mind, this is not great. Plus, if I was in the house and week after week getting, you know, 50 BB bucks, I would also be like, okay, screw it. I guess we're just going to, you know, try to, where I'm already hated. What, like, what's more can I do?
Would you be like,
honestly, America can wipe their butt with the BB bucks.
No, because like, see, I have a middle school crush on America, so I would never say something like that, because even if they don't like me, that doesn't mean that I don't like them.
Mm. Okay.
Yeah. The other thing about the POV real quick was that it seems like Xavier did like really badly, and he is a little bit upset about that. And the women are a lot more like, hey, you thought that you guys were running the alliance, but all of our times were better than you. So yeah. I don't know about that.
Xavier actually had talked about potentially throwing this veto, hoping that that Kyland would win. Because
yeah,
Kyland wasn't
either
supposed to win. And if Kyland won, it would just piss everybody off even more, which would be great.
Yeah. And Kyland came in third, I think. He was only a couple seconds behind Sarah Beth. So it was close-ish. It's hard to tell. 23 seconds doesn't seem super close, but it depends on the competition.
So There's you know, some talk around the veto win. Xavier talks to Tiffany. Tiffany tells him she doesn't really think it makes sense for the veto to be used this week. He agrees. But when he talks to Hannah, he says, yeah, so you shouldn't use the veto. And she's like, oh, so you don't want me to use it on you? And he's like, well, I mean, obviously I'd love to come off, but it doesn't make sense for you to use it on me. She's like, well, I want to use it. Like, oh, really? Yeah. Oh. Well, okay. She's like, yeah, I just want to check in with Tiff and Kai first. He's like, oh, all right, okay, sure.
Yeah. Yeah. She wants to check in with people and potentially use it on him. I think her reasoning is okay, actually, when she thinks about it. I mean, so a lot of it has to do with Alyssa and Alyssa being close to Xavier, and the fact that I think if Alyssa were to win HOH next week, showing that Hannah has saved Xavier would be a positive in Alyssa's eyes.
Yeah, I mean, it's the same thing Tiffany was doing at the beginning of the week, trying to be like, hey, I'm not coming for you. I'm not going to put you up, Alyssa. You are positioning yourself with Alyssa so that she goes after somebody that is not you, which really should be done by Hannah more than anybody else, because I do think that, you know, I think that Alyssa at this moment, we'll talk about it, she's looking at Kyland, but I think Hannah would be her backup in terms of who she goes after if she wins at 8 or 7. And so particularly at 7, where she can't even get pushed into, you know, Claire. So that is something that she should be doing. You know, it's a good idea in that sense, as long as it doesn't raise red flags with Alyssa, which it certainly could, as Alyssa also thinks there's no reason why Hannah would want to use the veto on Xavier. When Xavier talks to Alyssa about the veto, she says, I don't know why she would use it on you. Makes no sense. So she's probably not going to use it. And he's like, yeah, I agree. She's probably not going to use it. And she lets him know that she wants to go after Kyland next. She feels like, hey, if Sarah Beth was talking about me, then I guarantee you Kyland was as well. So if we're getting out Sarah Beth this week, Kyland's got to go next week. And Xavier tries to push her in the direction of Tiffany and Claire, because that's what they're trying to get Claire on the block. And obviously she would go up next to Tiffany, like, oh, well, man, nobody's going after Tiffany and Claire, huh? How about that? And she's like, yeah, yeah. So Kyland.
Yeah. It's always funny trying to see people like maneuver because like what Alyssa's saying is true and is obvious. And I think it'd be really fun to play this game and try to be Xavier and be like, okay, how do I steer someone away from something that's staring them right in the face right here? In the same conversation, Xavier is going to talk about how like Dr. Will was a really good player, and he's praising his tactic of like not winning that many competitions, because Xavier also hasn't won that many competitions and wants to like nail that point in. Also says that Dan didn't win that much.
He's also like a huge fan of Dr. Will as well.
Like, yeah. Yeah. But I think like you choose the people to be a fan with and talk about in the house that you think you're emulating their game, so the people will sort of associate you in their mind with them. I'm not saying that everyone's doing this strategically. I'm saying like subconsciously, I think you're a fan of people on television generally that you think you would like to play like, or that you potentially could play like, for the most part.
Well, I certainly hope X plans on winning more competitions, because that's his path.
He might need to. Yep.
Yeah. So that's the goal here. And you know, it is it's hard to see why Alyssa would want to target Claire. Like, Claire has a reason to put Alyssa on the block with Xavier at the very least. And then they can vote out Alyssa. But there's no reason for Alyssa to really target Claire or Tiffany. I mean, you could try to get her to target Tiffany and then you put put Claire on the block next to her, but why target Tiffany? Tiffany was HOH, didn't put Alyssa on the block. Claire was then the coin holder and didn't put Alyssa on the block. And they're not super big threats either. It's not like, they're big competition threats now. Versus Kyland, who she doesn't trust at this point and seems like a big threat in the game. Or Hannah, who she is concerned, she's concerned that Hannah is going to be gunning for her because they've just never had a great relationship. She's looking at Kyland and Hannah, and how do you get her to look at Claire when Claire seems so inconsequential? Alyssa winning this HOH would definitely be a bit of a hurdle. Now, again, when you're closest person and pretty much the only people around you are telling you do this, do this, do this, we could see her make a Sarah Beth mistake here and go after Claire for some reason, but it will be a tough sell, I think.
Yeah. And so I think the thing is, though, like, even if Alyssa realizes that she wants to go after Kylan, I think it's not going to be that difficult for somebody to convince her to also put up like Claire in that scenario, unless she feels really, really, really good with Claire. And she feels okay. I think at this point, it might be worth it for Claire to really openly talk to Alyssa and be like, hey, I was the coin flip person and I kept the numbs the same. I want to stay with you. Like, I don't want us to be against each other, et cetera. And I think that also factors into why Hannah might be considering taking Xavier down. The other thing about taking Xavier down is it doesn't change the Sarah Beth situation at all. Sarah Beth still goes home, so it's not like it messes up that plan at all. I think if Hannah wanted, like, I know that some people are saying it wouldn't make any sense for her to do, some people in the house, based on like the structure of the house. What relationship does Hannah have with Alyssa? Why she would feel that, or Xavier, why she would feel the need to do that. But at this point, if that's at all beneficial to Hannah's individual game, she should do it, because it doesn't, there's only so long that you need to like really, really toe the line of what the optics are if it no longer benefits you at all.
So Kylan is going to talk to Xavier as well. He's kind of talking. Kylan, by the way, now is starting to feel like the veto should be used on me. And one of the selling points he has for why it should be, he talks to Xavier. He's going to be saying this a couple of times throughout the night. He's like, just casually, like, just, do you know what, this is just like a, you know, weird thing that's, Sarah Beth, can you, this is something that actually happened. Like, Sarah Beth actually said to me that she wanted the veto to be used on me this week. Can you believe that? I mean, like, it's not like, I mean, like, it just makes me feel so, so bad about it, everything. But, he's so clearly pleased that he has her so snowed that she would want it used on him over her. And also, this is somehow an argument for why the veto should be used on him, because I guess it would make sense, because it's what Sarah Beth wants, and he wants to be able to be off the block so that he can give her a sympathy vote as well.
I think Kylan has been so pleasantly surprised by how well his tactics of influencing and manipulating Sarah Beth have been, that he somehow thinks that he's going to be able to do the exact same thing with everybody else. Mm-hmm. And it's not gonna work in the same way, for sure. It's funny that he's trying this. It may, like, where it makes little sense for Hannah to use the veto on Xavier based on how the house is set up, it makes so much less sense to use it on Kylan. Kylan knew that the plan was, if we're going to send Sarah Beth out, you're going to go sit up next to her. That makes sense. That one actually does make sense in terms of how the house sees everything, the like fake setup, right? It's like, okay, we're trying to send Sarah Beth home. Got to put her biggest, friend on the block so that he can't give her a sympathy vote. It makes no sense to anyone in the house who it's been like so well established that the goal is to get Sarah Beth out, to where Sarah Beth even is very aware of that. It makes no sense. Especially for DX's biggest ally, Hannah, here to be the one to do that. Doesn't make any sense. It's really fun to watch him try. And I think while he has Sarah Beth completely wrapped around his finger, he probably is starting to feel like a little bit that other people in the cookout are kind of not super in on his thing. Like yesterday when you were talking about Tiffany just kind of like up and leaving the conversation and being like, I'm not doing this with you, Kylan. Like, I think Kylan is right to start to worry about the fact that he is not in the greatest spot there, even if it's like subconsciously getting those vibes. And so I'm sure he does want to feel more safe and be taken off the block just in case. Like, he's in the position of being someone who probably should be most paranoid that if anything were to happen and members of the cookout were to flip, it would probably be on him or Xavier. And the truth of the matter is, while the cookout is doing a really great job, like in many, many other scenarios, the big alliance does get pretty far and then starts flipping on themselves before they actually make it all the way down. So there's plenty of scenarios where this could have happened.
My theory here on Kylan is that, especially once he hears that Hannah wants to use it on Xavier, he just wants to he just wants to win the situation. Like, he just wants to, like, no. Hold on. Xavier. Xavier shouldn't come. I should come off the block. I'm better than at this than Xavier. Like, I can talk my way into being talked off the block, not Xavier.
Maybe he should have spread his love to more people in the house than just Sarah Beth to like build some of those seeds of, okay. You know, like that. I'm just saying, like, if he,
I'm not okay with that.
All right. That's enough of that.
Okay. I just meant if he had been closer with Sarah Beth, like, this comes out of nowhere. Whereas if he had been closer with Hannah, all season, like, maybe he could have been like, oh, I'll just like turn on a little bit of that old Hannah charm. But instead, this is coming out of nowhere.
Yeah. Tiffany talks to Xavier. She says, can you believe Kylan is trying to, get the veto used on him? Xavier's like, are you kidding me? Nobody's using the veto on you, Kai. He says, well, Hannah actually said she wanted to use it on me. And Tiffany's like, oh, really? Well, I don't think that's the smartest move, but I guess it's better than it being used on Kai. I guess we can talk about that. And Xavier kind of agrees. He's like, yeah, I mean, personally, I don't really see why it makes sense, but I mean, I'm cool with it, obviously. So Tiffany talks with both Hannah and Kylan. And they're talking about like potential doubles or, like buybacks, whatever. Hannah says if they do, do a double at like six, like at like seven down to five, that it's cause America hates us. You go to triple coming maybe. Kylan says, they tried to introduce these twists to prevent us from dominating the game, but we got through them anyway because we're so good. Like,
yeah, I actually wrote lol, nope, Taryn disagrees.
Yeah.
I wrote that in my notes because I'm like, the high rollers and other twists, while they may by the BB people think that what they're doing is trying to target a large alliance, that's in practice not what these twists do. So yeah, I mean, if anything, it's helped you.
He's not wrong in that they were designed to put thorns in the big alliance's side.
Yeah.
He's wrong in that the effect of them is the opposite.
Yes.
I mean, Kylan, I do give a lot of credit to in a lot of the manipulation areas. And, he did essentially run the house for, you know, a good 3 weeks there at least. But you can't see this one, can you, Kylan? So he says, we broke the game. Other players are going to think they're going to try to replicate what we did, but they won't be able to. They won't be able to. This is too hard to replicate. It's like, what are you talking about? Not only did you not invent this, Kylan, but this is the most easily replicated thing. I had did a whole podcast on it 2 seasons ago that this is what everybody does now. What do you mean you broke the game and nobody else will be able to replicate this?
Well, I don't know if he's talking about having a big six-person alliance or if he's talking specifically about the cookout and the way the cookout has functioned.
They're talking about the brigade structure of having a person.
The fact that it literally is a brigade structure, exactly one.
Yeah.
I mean, I do think that this is an impressive alliance. And if they all get to final six, they are, I think, the best Big Brother alliance in history.
Better than the brigade, for sure.
Statistically, Right. And I know that we've had this disagreement in the past. Like, I think the fact that Matt Hoffman was out so much earlier does put like a thorn in the brigade side in terms of statistics, even though there were final three.
That's what we, when we talked about the Pretty Boys, it was like, can they get to four, or does Kira getting there screw them up? And I argued, yes, it does.
It does. But anyway, odds, I think 4 out of 5 is better than 3 out of 3 plus the one way earlier, but it's fine. Yeah, that's what I was saying. But they're both really good, and I can see how you can see it either way on that one. This one, I think undeniably.
Okay.
No, I'm not okay with that.
I'm still having flashbacks anytime somebody says like that they're grateful for something. It like really hurts. Mm. I hate Big Brother for doing this to me. But they are doing a great job. Hannah talks about how she thought that she was going to get stuck with having Whitney as her duo person, and she was glad that she got DX instead. I think that was really cute.
Yeah. This is a funny moment though, because Hannah has been referring to every non-cookout member as a pawn, like all season long.
Yes.
And so Hannah's like, yeah, the fact that our pawns couldn't even see it. And Tiffany's like, hey, they're not pawns. They were our partners.
Yes.
She's like, oh, okay, partners. And she's like, well, Hannah, you're cold. She's like, well, they weren't really partners, were they? We're sending them out the door.
I'm on Hannah's side on this one. I say, call it like it is. Like, I do think that these are pawns that they had really good relationships with and that they did have like true bonds with. But if you know from, you know, whatever it is, week 3, that they're never going to choose their partners over the members of their alliance, then yeah, they're pawns. That's how it is. If there is a cap on how far you're willing to take them and the way that you're manipulating them, at least Hannah is calling a spade a spade.
Yeah, I think I'm on neither side here. I think pawns is too cold. I mean, that's just cruel. Partners is too condescending. They weren't really your partners. They were just your friends.
But they're not just your friends. They're your strategic friends that you've gone through and mapped out that each person gets one. They're your splinter line. Like, you're right. Pawn is a harsh word because of the connotation that it has in the game. But I think the partner is giving too much agency to people that you are deliberately going through and at any chance, like cutting their legs out from beneath them. So I don't think that really is that a partner does not do what Kylan did to Sarah Beth last week. A partner would say, okay, it's Sarah Beth's HOH. She wants to come for my alliance. I can't do it directly, but I'm not going to just spend 5 hours laying in bed with her, manipulating her into doing something that's horrible for her game and going to cause her to go out the next week.
And Michelle has it here. Buddies.
Buddies.
They're buddies.
Right, because buddies has just the right amount of condescending to it that's like, oh, you're my buddy. We're close, but there's a limit.
All right. They also talk about strategies for a potential slip and slide that could be coming up. This is when Tiffany says that she would probably go for the safety, but then wait a minute, I can't go for the safety because then Claire will get mad at me. And then she goes, wait, what if Claire has to throw the HOH, but what if she can go for safety?
Ooh.
And then Hannah says, nope, what would be the point of that? That doesn't make any sense. I was like, oh, okay.
Actually think that would be great. Like if that's, do you think that they would allow that? Or do you think if they say you can't win, then you also can't go for any potential?
I disagree with Hannah here. I think, if there is a safety jar in the slip and slide and Claire's not allowed to win the HOH, it makes perfect sense that she could go for the safety, in my opinion.
Because the reason that she's not able to win the HOH is she's not able to have power. That's very different than being safe.
Yeah.
They're not saying, hey, you're screwed over because you decided to take power this week.
Because from Hannah's perspective, she says outright, there's no difference between safety and HOH. But that's only from your perspective because
you're in a safe alliance.
For the cookout, there's no difference between HOH and safety for these people. But in any other season, in any other situation, there's a massive difference between just safety and HOH. So,
okay, sorry. I saw in the chat plus ones. I like that one the best.
Well, now we're back to the brigade.
I thought they called them parachutes in the brigade?
Parachutes. They also said plus ones, though.
Yeah. Okay. All right, fine.
As did the pretty boys.
Yeah. If Claire, statistically taller people generally do better in slip and slide. I think Claire is not like the most coordinated tall person, though, just like based on her stance and the way she walks. So I'm not 100% sure that she would even
her
have a
cardio
chance.
Cardio isn't good.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know what her odds would be of actually even getting safety. Like if one other cookout person decides to go for it, they might beat her.
Right. Well, but here's the thing, right? So, if it's a slip and slide, and it could be because the twist will be over. It could be an endurance competition. If it's the slip and slide, that would mean that Xavier probably a shoo-in to win it. Kyland probably second closest to win it here. Then you have, you know, Azza. You have, I would say Azza and Claire are probably the next two. Tiffany and Hannah are both on the shorter side. That tends to not be great for this competition. And Big D probably is not going to be in this either, which means that, it's probably X, Kyland, Claire, Azza. I don't remember how Azza fared. I think Azza was competing in that cardio veto that Claire played mm-hmm. in as well. I don't remember if she was better or worse than Claire at that. Of the running back and forth with the ball. But what this could mean is that if there is a safety jar and Claire can, I forgot about Alyssa. Alyssa's in that as well. I could see Alyssa doing okay, but I think Alyssa will gun for HOH. I don't think she would gun for safety. So what's interesting here is that, if there is a safety jar and Claire goes for the safety jar, you kind of have to get X or Kyland to go for the safety jar to make sure that she doesn't get the safety jar. But that's kind of weird. Why are they doing that? You could maybe bank on and also you can't really communicate very well to other people, I would imagine, during the competition. So you'd have to try and signal to Azza, try to beat her for the safety jar. But then if Azza starts falling behind, there's not going to be time to catch up and beat Claire at the safety jar. So you kind of maybe have to just push, Kyland or X to go for the safety jar.
And if one of them does that, it could potentially, if Kyland or X happen to not be good at slip and slide, it could open the door for Alyssa winning HOH potentially.
Exactly. So it's there are some complications that can come from this, assuming that Claire is able to compete for the safety jar, which, again, I don't see why she wouldn't be able to. If there even is one, even if there even is a slip and slide, if Claire even has to throw the HOH, because we still don't really know what that really means either.
Is this, do we have any kind of confirmation that this is going to be slip and slide, or is this all speculation at this point?
They've been speculating that it's going to be slip and slide for weeks.
Gotcha.
But this is the first time it actually could be, because the twist is over and they're probably going to be looking for an HOH that lasts into the next episode.
Have we ever seen a shorter person win slip and slide? Because I've always that's the competition that I'd be most interested in playing in Big Brother, but I am way shorter. So I didn't know if am I just completely out of it?
So
my cardio is pretty good.
Slip and slide winners. The shortest person, they're all tall.
Who won in BB 11?
I mean, BB 11 was Kevin Campbell, but he's honestly not that short. I don't think there have been many short winners here for the slip and slide. Caleb isn't the tallest dude in the world, but
yeah, still.
Yeah. It's a lot of taller people for sure.
Oh well.
How tall is Kevin Campbell? Let's try and figure
this
out.
I'm sure taller than me.
does his wiki say? I don't think it does. All right. Well, I don't remember him being that short. I really think he's actually,
I don't think he's particularly short. I think Caleb might even be shorter than him.
I think Caleb's probably the shortest, slip and slide winner. But he also only competed against four other people.
Yeah. They've done a couple of weird four person slip and slides and stuff, four mm-hmm. or five. So
Yeah, the last woman to win Slip and Slide was Becky in season 17, who also on the taller side. And then, of course, Aaron won, but it was with Jeremy. That was a duo one. So
yes. Oh, well. Oh, well.
So that's pretty much they run through that. Then afterwards, Hannah's going to talk to the cameras. She says that she plans to use this veto on Xavier. She says the argument she's going to use and the reason genuinely she thinks that she's going to do it is that Xavier is all about loyalty and will reciprocate. And she's saying she hopes that Alyssa will appreciate it as well. And then she'll get some reciprocation from Alyssa as well. She says if she's transparent about it with Kyland, she thinks he'll appreciate it because it's all about gathering information. I think this is a misread on Kyland. I don't think Kyland cares about gathering information. I think he cares about feeling like he is manipulating a person. And if you're doing something that he actively doesn't want you to do, then he's not going to feel good about you. She says she wants to make sure that Tiffany feels like she was part of the decision because that's how you get with Tiffany. I would say again, like, yes, as long as Tiffany agrees with the decision, which she currently doesn't. She says that Big D and Azza play personal, so she just needs to continue her personal relationship with them to be good with them. I think again, this is a bit of a misread. I don't think that they are playing as personal as she thinks, but I appreciate that she has like an angle that she's trying to work with everybody here in the cookout. She says that she was the one that came up with the plan to make sure Claire was the only person who played for the Coin of Destiny, to make sure that Claire got the Coin of
Destiny, 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 Destiny.
And this is because the winner of the Coin of Destiny, she says, is ineligible to win the next week's HOH. She was like, it was so cool. Like, it was my plan. Like, it was cool to have, like, what I had I made a plan. Isn't that awesome? She's having fun.
Yeah, she wants to also use it to build her resume here, and she's glad that she has started winning some competitions. I think while some of her reads are off, I'm glad to see that she is like trying to think about how her place in this game could be helped or hurt by this. And I think that it does look better for her to use it just to show that she actually is playing an individual game. I know that there's some people who are sort of like, I think some other people's reads are off here. Like Alyssa earlier in the day thought that, Claire and Hannah have basically done nothing in the game. It's always funny to see people who also I feel like haven't done a whole particular lot think about what everyone else has done. You know, like Big D at least talks a big game, like that he's done Alyssa, all of these moves.
Alyssa was like, I'm exhausted. This game is just nonstop.
Yeah, like I've done all this
Xavier's
stuff.
Xavier's like, yeah, me too. And I'm like, you two do the least in this house. You do less than Azza and Big D.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that the only people who have really like put in tons of actual game time to where they're actually like, say what you want about Kylan. At least if he said he was exhausted, I'm like, yeah, I mean, you're doing things that you don't necessarily need to do, but at least you're like constantly doing things. So there is that. And I think Kylan is probably the person who's most playing an individual game while playing a cookout game, whereas a lot of the other people are playing much more just solely cookout. And so it's I'm glad to see that Hannah's at least like, okay, once it comes down to the cookout, I need to start making some moves and doing everything I can now to make those connections work, even if her reads are a little off. At least she's doing that.
Mm-hmm. Not a good sign though that Alyssa did name Hannah as somebody that is doing nothing in the game.
She's
going to need to change that perception, and I do think that using
the veto
Xavier
would help. Right?
Is the start of you know, she won something. She's going to do something with that. I like that. I don't think that it's going to work out that like Kylan feels great about it, but who cares? Kylan's not going to. I mean, Kylan has bigger problems to deal with than you, and a lot of people are against him anyway. So it doesn't matter if Kylan's okay with it. Tiffany continues to talk to Kyland after Hannah leaves. He is massaging her feet, saying, I really think the veto should be used on me. He really thinks he's doing something here. He says he wants to be able to give a vote to Sarah Beth that she wanted to use the veto on him. He was like, yeah, she was just like, she wanted the veto to be used on me, actually. It was really sweet, you know? I was like, oh, I wasn't expecting that. And like, I gave her like the opening to say, and then she did, and it was like, what?
In the same conversation, Kylan is like, here's how I stay humble in the game.
Be humble.
Yeah. He says, so essentially, will you help me convince Hannah that it should be used on me? I really think that it should. Tiffany's like, I'll think about it.
Like, Kylan has told Sarah Beth that he wants the credit for like getting Derek X out partially, but then he like almost feels like he convinced Derek to not play in the roulette. But at the same time, he's like, yeah, part of my reasoning to Sarah Beth is that, you know, I kind of want her to find out that I was the one who voted for him to stay, and that Tiffany was the one pushing for Derek to leave. Or sorry, talking to Hannah. That's part of my reason. I want to talk to Hannah and have Hannah use the veto on me because I was the one who did. It's like, is he not aware that we all knew like who got the sympathy votes and like why?
Yeah, he says that he's like, you know, I like to be humble. And I like to keep my ego in check. You know, part of me wants to, you know, just say out loud that, you know, I was the last person to talk to Derek before he played in the thing. Probably was the one that convinced him not to play in the roulette. But then, you know, like, I don't want to, that's maybe my ego speaking. So I'm not going to say that. You just said it.
Yep.
That was you saying it.
Yeah.
This is not going to get, the veto is not going to be used on Kylan. The question is, will the veto be used on Xavier? At this time, I do not know that that is going to be the case. Tiffany is like, I guess I'd be cool with that, even though it doesn't make sense. I should talk to Claire to make sure that it doesn't raise any alarm bells with Claire. So we'll see, you know, when she talks to Claire, I have to imagine this. I mean, this should, I've said this for a long time, but this should be the final straw for Claire. If Tiffany goes to Claire and says, yeah, Hannah wants to use the veto on Xavier, like, excuse me? I would hope that Claire is like, that makes no sense. But who knows? We'll see if this veto actually gets used. I mean, even Xavier's not pushing too hard for it, which I actually think is the right call, because he is guaranteed safe at this point. And if he pushes too hard for it, he makes it seem like he is playing a little bit more selfishly. I don't think he needs any help getting the jury vote in the end. What he does need is to look flawed and look human right now, so that the cookout isn't as convinced that they need to take him out once they get to six. So I think staying on the block is actually very good for Xavier at this time, or at least not pushing to be taken off the block. Because again, being taken off the block in a spot where he didn't need to be taken off the block, just it makes him seem like more of a threat. So I like the fact that he's not pushing for this. We'll see if it ends up happening. Obviously, it doesn't really matter one way or another, even if Claire's eyes are opened or whatever. None of this probably matters. We're still looking at a done deal here.
Maybe Kylan should learn a little bit about not looking great to be taken down when you don't need to be.
Yeah. All right. So that's about what we have for you here. Mary, anything else you want to bring up?
There were a couple small things that I thought were kind of funny, not super important, but at one point Big D is talking about how when he watches the show, he originally thought that like the competitions were somewhere else and not in the backyard, which is 100% how I was watching the show. And it wasn't until I went back and watched from the beginning that I'm like, oh, now I can see the backyard evolve over time. But starting with Big Brother 19 as your first season, if you go back and watch some of those early comps, it like looks like a completely transformed different place. So I was amazed. You and me, Big D, on the same page. Also, I don't know if you wanted to talk about anything from this here or if you are going to do it somewhere else, but we did get some bonus Derek X content from the jury house. I don't know if you watched that or not.
Oh yeah, the questions.
Yeah, nothing like too crazy interesting there, but he mostly thinks that, you know, still feels good about Hannah despite finding everything out, and his biggest regret not playing in the roulette. So not a whole lot.
It seemed as though he, despite having a much better idea of the cookout existing, seems to think that Hannah still is not part of it.
Yes. Yep. He thinks the house will continue to target other comp beasts. So that'll be really exciting to see if Sarah Beth goes out. He's like, oh, I imagine that Derek will feel pretty good if Sarah Beth goes out, just to like reiterate that people liked him, even if he was getting voted out based on his competition ability. So there is that. Mm. Yeah.
All right.
Yep. Nice. Nice day. You know, now I got to go hunt down some Twizzlers, because they are making me think about that from watching that movie yesterday.
All right. What was your best bowling score?
Oh, nah, it was not, I didn't reach my PR, but I think 132 was the best yesterday. So not great, but it was okay.
I was going to play that no matter what score you
get. Yeah, thanks. You know. I'm really hoping that eventually just gets deleted off the face of the planet. And we don't need that anymore.
You don't like it when Julie goes,
ooh.
Oh, I'm clipping that.
Gosh. Yeah, you just wait. One day somebody's going to come on here and have a soundboard of you saying things.
That already exists. That's called Kuya's soundboard.
True. He does have that.
And Bruno's.
Man. How quick I forget about Puya's soundboard. All right. Yep, that's all.
All right. Well, thank you guys so much for joining us here today. I will be back tonight to watch the episode with you guys on Twitch, twitch.tv/Taryn Armstrong, watching the episode with you guys live. And then after the episode, back here on Rob as a Podcast to recap the episode. Of course, should be a lot of fun there. I'll also be playing some Among Us in just a couple hours over on Twitch as well. If you want to check that out and, you know, enjoy the shenanigans. Of course, I'll be back tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. Eastern to update you on everything that happens today on the Big Brother 23 live feeds. You can also find me on Twitter at @ArmstrongTaryn. Mary, where can people find you?
You can find me everywhere at Frail Mary, and check out everything I'm doing there. Mostly podcasting about Riverdale right now. So,
all right,
that's about it.
Well, thank you guys again for joining us here today, and I will see all of you next time.